Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stacy. And he is faithful. Amen. In your Bible, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we read verses 1 through 5. I want to talk to you about the words in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord is the title of the message. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. And we certainly need your help today and pray for that. And ask you to speak to our hearts. If there's someone here today who's not saved, God, I pray that they would trust Christ today and they'll be saved and know they're going to heaven when they leave. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll speak to Christians, that you'll give us what we need today, and that we'll be different because of the service today. And again, we thank you that we can gather. Please speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Delight thyself in the Lord. It says in this passage, and I've always looked at Psalm 37 and these verses as kind of a prayer promise. And because of verses 4 and 5, and at the end of verse 4, he says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And verse 5, at the end, it says, he shall bring it to pass. So obviously, if I'm going to get an answer to prayer, there's some things I have to do. And I call your attention to verse 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And I think, As we look at that today, we will see that a lot of things are going to tie together under delight thyself in the Lord. And delighting yourself in the Lord, what in the world is that? What's that talking about? How can I? Well, it's getting delighted in the Lord. It's getting excited about the Lord. It's convincing you to be excited about the Lord. Do you understand? Most of us, you know, we might shallowly sing a song about the Lord. We might be shallow in a testimony. Well, I just praise the Lord, I'm alive. We might be shallow about some praise and that, but I mean, deep down, I mean, really, are you delighted with the Lord? And I believe this. I believe if we'll get excited and delighted about the Lord, then we'll be able to trust Him. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord. By the way, we'll also be able to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And it says also in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. I think if we're delighted in the Lord, trust also in Him, I think that we'll be able to commit our way. I think we'll be able to trust Him. I think our biggest problem today is we're just not really delighted in the Lord. I think a lot of the problems among Christians, I counsel every week, counsel different folks and talk to them. I think a lot of it is we're not delighted in the Lord. We're not convinced that God is going to do anything. We're not convinced that God will answer our prayer. We're not convinced. By the way, God always answers your prayer. He always answers your prayer. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. Well, wait a minute. He always answers your prayer. That doesn't mean He always answers it the way you want Him to answer it. He always answers our prayer. I think verse 1 is true. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. I think God knows that we don't have to fret about that. I think God knows that we don't have to be envious against those who live their lives in sin. And yet, all over churches this morning, there are folks that look at the world and say, well, you know, maybe I'm missing out on something. No, you need to delight yourself in the Lord. You need to get excited about the things of God. You need to remember all that God has done for you. And by the way, that is a key part of our prayer lives. That is a key part. You say, well, you know, I just ask the Lord and all of that. Well, how about delighting yourself in the Lord first? How about, you know, excluding foolish things we might ask for, or sinful things, sinful desires, and wrong things. Do you know God wants to give you things? Do you know that God wants to answer your prayers? God wants to bless us. God wants us to have His hand of blessing. That doesn't mean we're going to have lots of money. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have great big houses and lots of cars and all that. But God wants to bless you. God wants to for you to be able to say, you know, look what God did. Look what God did in my life. I mean, certainly God wants that. And the method, I believe, this delighting thyself in the Lord, I think it's a crucial method, and it's a method that has been used for many, many years. And, you know, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, you know, we talk about Him putting the desire there, but I think even more than that, as you get excited about God, you desire the things of God. As you get excited, hello? I mean, as you and I delight in the Lord and we think about, we rehearse over and over what God has done for us, and we go through that in our hearts and our minds, and we concentrate on those things, I believe that God, our hearts become knit to His, whereby we desire the right kinds of things. You say, well, I just want to be rich. Well, walk with God, talk with God, delight yourself in God, spend that time and be delighted and thrilled with Him. And tell me what you really want then. Tell me what really is in your heart then. And I think that we will find that our desires will change as we delight ourselves in the Lord. And our desires will be exactly what He wants us to have. And we'll have it. We'll have it. And the Bible says, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart, and He shall bring it to pass. These are not things that He says just to make us feel good. These are things He says because He wants to do it. But you have to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. You know, here's the thing. All over this room are people who want something. All over the room, I guarantee there's some, if we passed a little sign-up sheet, what do you want? It'd be full. Guaranteed. There are things we want. There are things that we desire. And you know, many times as we pray, we'll say, well, if it be thy will. Okay, well, certainly we want God's will. I understand. But how about praying and being very specific with God and saying, God, here is as I'm walking with you and I'm getting excited about what you can do. Here's what I want. Truth is, we're scared to death to ask for what we really want. We're terrified to actually ask God for what's really on our hearts because we're not so sure He can even do it. We're not so convinced that He will do it. Remember, the word trust in this passage comes up twice, verse 3 and verse 5. Trust Him. Trust Him. So I think it all begins with delighting yourself, and you'll see it here as we get to it. You know, here's the thing. A real key to every one of us is to change our wanter. You know, when I got saved, I wanted, you know, when I was first a Christian, certainly before I got saved, I wanted all kinds of things that were wicked. And when I first got saved and trusted Christ, then I still wanted some things that weren't necessarily right. But as I grew in the Lord and walked with Him and watched how He worked, I kind of wanted different things. And my wanter started to change. And you know, as you delight in the Lord, He changes things. Have you ever thought about prayer is maybe not all for God? Prayer might be for us. And it's not so much talking God into giving. It's convincing Him that we're ready to receive it. You know, God, I'm ready to receive what You have for me. I'm ready to receive. Because I promise you this, He wants to give. He always wants to give. Every good gift comes from Him. You say, well, Aunt Frieda got me a real nice gift. Hey, listen, every good gift comes from God. Every one of them. Every good gift. I believe this, as you delight yourself in the Lord, as you convince yourself, hey, I'm excited about God. Some of you need to tell your face. I'm serious about that. As you convince yourself, as you get delighted in the Lord, you trust Him for everything. You trust Him for everything, and that means you trust Him with no as an answer. Do you know our biggest problem as Christians is we don't like the answer no. We're just like our children. We say, hey, no is an answer. You know, we say it to our kids. Then God says no to us. And we say, God, why aren't you answering? No is an answer. We don't like that. But always, if God says no, He's got something better over here that's a yes. Always. But again, we don't know that if we're not delighting ourselves. You know, prayer is talking to God. Now, the actual, when we use the word prayer, it's talking about asking God for things, but I'm talking about the whole communication with God. It is talking to Him. You know, I like what Hezekiah did in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19. And you can look it up, but Sennacherib is about to attack Hezekiah, and he sends a letter, and he says, we're going to wipe you out. And we're going to wipe out all your people. You know, your God's not so tough. We're going to wipe them out. And Hezekiah is reading this letter, and I love what he does. The Bible says he takes the letter, and he opens it up, and he spreads it out on the table, and he says, God, you see that? You see that, God? Now, you're God. See, what's he doing? He's starting to get delighted in the Lord. You know, hey, you're God. You can take care of this, God. They don't dare mess with you, God. You're bigger and stronger than they are, God. This guy says he's going to whoop your people, God. What are you going to do about that, God? I love it. And he's getting himself all fired up. He's getting himself all delighted. Hey, my God can do anything. Some of you need to convince yourself that your God can do anything. I mean, honestly, you look around and it's like, oh, you know, everything's bad all around us and nothing's good. Hey, our God is still on the throne. He is still the great God. It's time we delight ourselves in the Lord. It's time we spend that time with God and talk to God about all that He's done so that we can be reminded, so we can get delighted. You know, your prayer time ought not be discouraging. It ought to be uplifting. It ought to be exciting. It ought to be thrilling. You're talking to God. You're talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're talking to somebody bigger than the president. You're talking to somebody bigger than an earthly king. You're talking to God who can do anything. And it's amazing. Well, I prayed about it, but there's no rejoicing. You're not delighting yourself in the Lord. I like what Hezekiah did. He put God right there on the spot. He put himself on the spot. God, here's what I think about you. Here's, as I think about it, God, I think you can handle this. Here's the letter this guy wrote. Are you going to put up with that, God? Are you going to take that, God? And you know, Hezekiah got himself worked up and he said, you know what he's saying? He's saying, God, I believe you. I trust you, God. I believe you can take care of this. Delight in him and convince yourself while you're trying to convince him. God, I'm ready. I believe you can do this. I'm ready. I'm ready to receive this answer. And even if the answer is no, okay, God, I'm ready to receive it. I can handle it. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry. You know, God, I believe this with Hezekiah. God, if you said it's time for us to be destroyed, fine. I accept that. I accept that. Because, God, I'm absolutely thrilled with you and I trust you. And if that's the best thing, then I accept that. Let me tell you, give you some ideas here this morning about talking to God and delighting yourself in the Lord. First thing, talk to him about his promises. Talk to him about, hey, God, you said you would do this. I don't know how many times in my prayers throughout the day, God, you said you would do this. You said this was. Talk about his promises. What am I doing? I'm telling God he's wonderful. I'm telling God he's great. I'm telling God, God, you always keep your word. You're not like us. We lie. God, you keep your promises. But I'm telling him all that, but I'm also telling myself, yeah, he really does. Some of you need to have a real good talk with God about his promises so that you believe his promises. So that you get back to where, hey, God, I trust you. Trust in the Lord. And do good. You know, we don't do good all the time because we really don't trust him. Oh, what do people think? Well, they may not like this. Or no, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust also in him. Talk about his promises with him. Talk about it. You know? I mean, come on. You parents, your kids that say, You promised. You know, that's put you on the spot, doesn't it? But it also, it's kind of an exciting thing that your kids know that you're honest, if you are. I'll tell you this, God always is. If God promised it, it's always true. Amen. If he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, guess what? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord to save them, they'll be saved. There's no question about that. God, you promised. You promise. Hey, if you're struggling with your salvation today, if you're struggling with having assurance of salvation, my Bible says you may know that you have eternal life, then you need to go before God Almighty and get delighted with the fact that, God, you promised this. You said it. You promised it. You never lie, God. You said the devil's a liar. You could never lie. You're the opposite of the devil. Amen. And get delighted about that thing. God, you promised. You promised. Uh-huh. You know, Jacob, before he met Esau, he said, and thou saidst, surely I will do thee good. Jacob said, God, you said you were going to do me good. Now, Esau's going to come, and I think he's going to stab me in the gizzard. I really do. Actually, humans don't have gizzards. But you know, I'm scared of Esau, God, but you said, God, you said, surely I'll do thee good. And you know, by the time Jacob was done talking to God and wrestling with God and spending time with God, he was convinced God's going to take care of everything. Amen. Delight thyself also. Delight thyself in the Lord. Hey, why wouldn't we, before you give your list of what you're going to ask for, why wouldn't you say, God, remember how you kept this promise? Remember how you promised this? I don't know how many times I go back and say, God, I still remember opening up my little box in college and $10 bills being in there. I remember getting in my car as a young pastor and getting in my car and looking in the tape player. Remember tape players? 8-track tape players. And looking in there and pulling out a $5 bill. I remember doing that for week after week after week. Sometimes $5 bills, sometimes 5 ones, sometimes a 2 and 3 ones. Remember $2 bills? And God, I remember that, God. God, you promised. You were faithful, God. Just like Stacy, just like God's faithful. He's always faithful. God, you always keep your word. And you said this, God. See, God already knows he's going to keep his promise. He wants to make sure you know it. The just shall live by faith. Trust. Delight yourself in the Lord. Talk to him about his promises. Talk about it with him. Talk about it. God, you said this. Philippians 4:19. Keep your place in the Psalms. But go to Philippians 4:19. What does he say? He says, but my God shall supply all your need. All your need. All your need. Now, the next part tells how he does it. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means he has it all. That means, I mean, we're talking about the God who paves his streets in heaven with gold, and he makes his gates out of pearl. And I mean, we're talking about a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm just saying, we know he's able to do it, or do we know that? But see, if you don't get delighted, if you don't convince yourself, if you don't talk to him and God, you've done this before, he said he'll supply all your need. All your need. Well, I want... Well, wait a minute. God, you said you'll supply all my need. Now, he gives us all kinds of fun things, too. But that need part is so crucial. And that's when I go back and I say, God, I remember when you delivered us a sack of groceries on our doorstep. And he provided our need. But he also gave me a bag of Chips Ahoy cookies, too, that day. And I'll get delighted with God. You know, we get down. We get discouraged. All you have to do is watch the news, and it can be real discouraging. Amen. Read the newspaper. It'll get you down. But all of a sudden, you know, as I'm talking to him, I'm delighting in him, and I'm saying, God, you always keep your promises. You did this. You did this. You did this. You did this. And pretty soon, hey, I don't have to convince him that he does all those things. I don't have to convince him that he's going to keep his word. I got to convince me. Because I got to trust him. Hey, do you trust him today? Do you trust him? Look at John 15, verse 7. John 15, 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, you talk to God and you say, God, you've always kept your promises. You've always kept your word. And Lord, you get delighted in that. I'm serious. If you would talk to God, hey, put away the long list of everything. I'm not saying don't go back to it. I'm just saying, just talk to him about how good he is. Get delighted in God and delight yourself in the Lord, and to where you're thrilled about the Lord. And where you're convinced God's going to provide. He's going to take care of it. Talk about his promises. Look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Many people, this is their life verse. And it is an awesome verse. Because within it is a little area where we just have to trust him. But if we know him, it's not hard to trust him. If we're delighted in him, it's not hard to trust him. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, notice, which thou knowest not. Do you know within some of those no answers to your requests, within some of those, you know, waiting periods of time, that's where verse 3 kicks in, which thou knowest not. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's really best for us. Oh, God, I got to have this. Well, God may have something better for you. I don't know how many people have, you know, the young people, they're wanting to get married, and they've, oh, Pastor, I just got to marry her. I'll be miserable without her. And, oh, just, God won't give her to me, and I don't know. You know, and a couple years later, they're marrying somebody else. Say, oh, I'm so glad I didn't marry that other one. Man, I understand she's a nag, you know. But see, God knew. God's promises. God, I want to just, why don't you this afternoon just talk to Him about His promises. Talk to Him about how He has promised the desires of your heart. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. Talk to Him. Get delighted about that. Talk about His promises. Number two, talk about His position. Talk to Him about His position. You know, when my kids were asking for things when they were little, they would always say, "You're the best dad." I mean, that was a warning, right? You know what I'm talking about, parents. I mean, it's like a warning flag is flapping in the breeze, you know. You're the best dad. You know, and the antenna go up. What do you want? You know? But honestly, God, you are God. Talk about His position. Isn't it amazing that God would even spend time with us? God, it's amazing. Not only do you talk to me and you spend time with me, but you want to spend time with me. You can get real delighted about that. Try to call the president. Try to call, I'll tell you what, this week, right now, get on the phone. Try to call Mr. Obama. I dare you. Yeah. Try to call your senator Monday. Hello? Try to call your representative. You know, you're not going to be able to. But God in heaven, you can just talk to Him anytime. And you remind Him, you know, hey God, you're wonderful. You are God. You're the God of gods. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You know, Elijah, we just talked about this the other day. Elijah, in his prayer before the fire fell, he said, "Let it be known that there's only one God. Let it be known there's only one God." You know, he's delighting himself. Why? Because he's sticking his neck out. That's why. You talk about trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what he's doing. But he delighted in the Lord to the point where, hey, he knew God was God. He didn't have to worry about, well, I don't know if this is going to work out or not. He wasn't like all the other prophets that were cutting themselves and wailing and weeping and screaming and hollering and trying to get their false god to light the fire. Hey, he knew his God could light that fire. And he knew his God would light that fire. Again, God likes to hear about His position, not because He forgot, but He wants to make sure you didn't forget. He wants to make sure, hey, do you know who I am? Come on, folks, be honest. Be honest. How many have tried the bank first before you went to God? You got out the charge card before you went to God. You went to Aunt Frieda before you went to God. Hello? How many times do we try all these other things before we go to God? He wants to make, hey, do you really know who I am? Do you really know who can pay that bill? Do you really know who can take care of that physical problem? Do you really know who can heal that relationship? Hey, do you really know who I am? God, let's talk about who you are. God, let's talk about how powerful and how great you are. Talk about His position. He's God. Lord, you took care of the Jews in Egypt. You brought them out of the wilderness. I'm in a wilderness, God. And talk about it. The more you talk about it, the more you delight in the Lord. Hey, has He ever bailed you out of anything before? Talk about it. Talk about it. God, remember when you got me out of that mess? God, remember when you got me out of that thing? God, remember when you did this? God, you know, I have all kinds of experience going back to some stupid things I've done. You have anything like that? And God bailed you out? Huh? Talk to Him about it again. God, remember when you did that? And you did this? And God, you're so great. You're so great. Can you imagine? Oh, Hezekiah, you know, hey, God, look at that letter. See what they said? You're going to put up with that, God? You're God. You don't have to take that from anybody, God. Go get them. Yeah. You and me, we'll go get them. But see, he's waiting to see if you're convinced to be the other part of that. Are you? Or are you, I don't know how we're going to make it. 2009 looks pretty bad. It looks pretty, pretty grim. Oh, jobs are going away. They're talking about laying me off. They're talking about phasing out our company. They're talking about phasing out Michigan. They're going to separate it from the whole United States. It's over! It's time we delight ourselves in the Lord, because He's still God. You know, you better have a talk with God this afternoon and talk to Him about who He is and His position, because He can do anything. It's important to Him that you know who He is. Amen. Talk to Him about His promises. Talk about His position. Number three, talk about His power. Remember when your kids would always say, "You can do anything." And you knew better than that. Guess what? God can do anything. He really can. Talk to Him about that. Do you believe He can do anything? Or do you kind of, we're in a real mess here. Listen, delight yourself in His power. Just rehearse it. Talk to Him about it. God, you're powerful. The Bible says there's nothing too hard for You. We just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated the virgin birth. Hey, God, You can do that. You can do anything. Talk about His power. Talk about Him parting the Red Sea. Talk about the flood. Talk about the earthquakes. Talk about all these impossible things. See, our problem, we hear too many liberal people talking about, here's the explanation for this, and here's how we explain the Red Sea. The wind blew, and it blew. Yeah, do it again. Duplicate it. Here's how you explain. David didn't really. Goliath was just a sissy. He wasn't really tough. He was dying of cancer, and he was big because he had some kind of disease. I'm sure the Philistine army would send out some crippled old man to go out and represent them to become slaves the rest of their life. Uh-huh. You know what? Hey, but just say, God, I know how powerful You are. See, I know how powerful. You say, well, I haven't really seen. Are you saved? See, I know what He did in me. If any be in Christ, He's a new creature. He made me a new person. I know what I was. Here's our problem. We start thinking we're pretty good. You weren't. You weren't and you aren't. But you are maybe better than you were, but that's only because of God, because we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And if there is any good in us, it's because of Him. Amen. Oh, yeah. And without Him, we would be of all men most miserable, lost on our way to hell. God, Your power, You saved me. Your power, it's an amazing thing. And eventually, as we delight ourselves with His power, we realize He is able. See how much easier it is to trust when we really get convinced. Talk about His past record. His past record. our kids, especially Angela, would say, "Well, You did this for David." Do your kids ever do that? "Well, You did this for Poindexter. Why won't You do it for me?" When you tell God, "God, You did this for them." By the way, why wouldn't He do that for you? Why wouldn't He? Abraham said when God told him that He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and He was just going to wipe them out, and Abraham was concerned about Lot and his family. Abraham said, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked." He said, "It's not like You, God. In the past, You've shown mercy." By the way, we don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. But since, God, I know I don't deserve it, but You've done it in the past. You were merciful, God. David said this. He said, "Thou hast been my help." David said, "You've helped me before. God, You've helped me, and it was exciting. You've helped me before." Jacob said, "Thou hast been with me." God, you were with me before. Why wouldn't You be with me now? Again, God is not the one that has to be convinced. You and I are the ones that have to be reminded and then convinced. And that's when God says, "Okay, you are trusting me. You really do trust me. You really do believe that I can do this. And you trust me with what I do. Lord, it's just not like You to not answer. It's not like You. You always have before." And He always has, hadn't He? Sure He has. See, our problem is we get tunnel vision on a problem, and we don't stop and look at God. We don't stop and look at what He's done. Talk to Him about what He did in the past. Talk about that. And again, He's not the one that I mean, certainly He doesn't forget. He knows what He can do and He knows what He has done. But the key is, do you remember? Do you remember? I always think about going to Flint, Michigan. It was such a culture shock to me. And all the people working at GM and pretty much everybody's work was related to the automobile industry. And I mean, from the first day, well, they're talking about a layoff. And you know, I said, really, they are? Huh? Oh, yeah, we're all going to be laid off. Yeah, it doesn't look good at all. And I said, really? I said, well, how long have they talked about it? Oh, the last 20 years. Really? And you're talking, well, yeah, they've always talked about it. I mean, it's always been inevitable. 20 years, huh? So you've worked 20 years? Yeah, I'm about ready to retire. Yeah, 20 years, huh? Pretty good. Not bad. And God fed you all that time? You know, and usually you look at somebody and they're plump. It's pretty obvious God's taking pretty good care of you. You know, people ever look at you and say, it's obvious God's been taking good care of you. They say that to me often. And, but see, you know, God, you did this before. You know, it's like the folks right here that could give testimony. They either got laid off, lost their job, whatever, and God gave them something better. It's not a bad thing, huh? You just talk to Him about it, and it gets you delighted with Him. How could you talk to God about things He's done for you without you being delighted? You can't. Hey, talk to Him about His past. Talk with Him about His pity. His pity. Huh? You know, He said, you know, Jeremiah said, Lord, look at Your people. They're struggling. They're suffering, God. You know, look at Your people. They need food. They're Your people. They need help, God. God, You showed mercy to me. I deserved hell, God. Still do. God, You've shown me Your grace over and over and over. You know, talk about that. You know, Christian, there's so much to be delighted with our God. So much to be excited about with our God. Talk to Him about His pity. Talk to Him. God, You were tempted. You were here. You know what I'm going through. God, you've been there. The Bible says You were tempted in all points such as we are. I know You know exactly what I'm going through, God. And remember when I went through this other... See, I can go back to so many times when God's comfort, God's compassion, the cemetery after burying my best friend and having the service, and I could tell that God's presence was there with me. And so many times I go back and say, God, I remember that. And I know that You are merciful. And I know that You are compassionate. And I know that You know what I'm going through. By the way, He knows what we're going through with chastening. He understands when we're chastened. He knows what that is. He knows all about that. He's never been chastened because of anything He did wrong. But He understands. He was crucified for you and I. He knows about suffering. He knows about being despised and rejected of men. You can go to God at any time with as it says in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. People are out to get you. People talk bad about you. People are being nasty to you. People are spreading lies about you. People are doing... God, could we talk about that a little bit? Because you know what that's like. God, I could sure use some of Your pity. I'm Your child. I'm weak. I don't want to mess up. How many times through the week do I say, God, I don't want to mess up. But I'm sure weak in this. I need You. See, again, I get delighted when I think about how God has done this before. I'm delighted when I think about His promises. I delight when I think about He's God, His position. He's my God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I mean, he's His power is so great. I could be delighted over His power and His past record, His record in my life. And I delight in His pity that He's shown me. And then the last thing, talk to him about his pleasure, what he likes. What he likes. I know my kids, they used to say things like, "Dad, I know you'd like a hot fudge sundae. I think for you we ought to stop and get a hot fudge sundae." Yeah, see, you know what I'm talking about because you've been there. "Dad, I you probably would really like a T-bone steak right now, wouldn't you?" Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how that always ended up affecting my wallet. Mm-hmm. God, I know there's a lot of things that you like. I know you like it, and you know, I know you like it when I give you praise. I know you like God. This past year, I don't know how many times I have said these words. God, I believe with all my heart, they will praise your name and testify that you did it when you do it. Say it many, many times. Why? Because God, he likes to hear people praise him for what he's done. Our problem, you know, we take the credit all the time so that we become convinced. Do you understand that's a dangerous thing for you to do? It's a very dangerous thing for you to get to the point where you believe you did it, where it's because of your brains, your muscle, your ability, that's why that happened, the promotion. Hello? Yeah, the first place in the contest. You know, well, look at me. Because what happens is you get in a mess and you get in a situation where you know you can't do it, and then you have no idea where to go. Better to live in the life of God. I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Otherwise, I can't do anything. And without you, God, I am nothing. And to be in that place is to remind God of the things that please him. And he loves praise. Reminds him. You talk about it and you say, "God, here's something that you'll like. You'll like it when you do it, and when you answer that prayer, and we all tell everybody you did it." Yeah, because God is able. God enjoys giving to us. Do you know that? He loves to give. He loves to give. But again, I'm convinced that we need to delight ourselves, because again, God knows all these things. God's God. But he wants to make sure you know all these things. Why? Because ultimately, we need to trust him. How many times have you, and honestly, there are seats empty this morning because somebody didn't get the answer they wanted. And they said, "Okay, fine, that's it. I'm out of here." Right? All over this room, there are people that struggle with that very thing. Now, are you telling me you're really trusting in the Lord? Well, no, you're not. Because if you really trust in the Lord, the answer no counts. The answer wait counts. It's not always yes to what we want. So what do? You delight yourself in the Lord. You get delighted with him again. You get excited. You talk about his promises. Talk about his position as God. You talk about how powerful he is. You talk about what he's done in the past. You talk about his pity that he's shown. You talk about what is his pleasure. And in all of that, you just get so delighted. You say, "God, anything goes. I trust you. I really do trust you." I'm convinced that many, many Christians are just playing a game. We're as bad as the idolatrous other religions that worship little idols and little Marys out in the yard and anything and everything else. Because we say all the things that we're supposed to say, but we don't really believe it. Otherwise, we'd be delighted. We'd be thrilled. We'd be excited. You know what? I've taken the economy to the Lord. I've taken the things about the government. I've taken all that to the Lord too. I've taken, my job security. You know, and we would all say that. We would, you know, I've taken that to the Lord. And I'm trusting Him. And it's okay. And then our faces would find out. And we'd smile. And we'd sing with a smile. And we'd come to church rejoicing. Because we've delighted ourselves in the Lord. And then we're trusting in Him. And you know what's going to happen? He shall bring it to pass. Let's all bow our heads, please.